my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This scripture is not the lectionary text for the fourth Sunday in Advent, but the fourth Sunday in Advent is the love candle. And no scripture in the Bible better explains what love is than 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, we begin with the understanding that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus embodies love. Jesus, God the Son, who was with God in the beginning, chose to come to earth, leaving heaven for us. Jesus chose to get his hands and feet dirty, walking the dusty roads of Palestine for us. Jesus chose to die in an act that shows the greatest act of love anyone could show. Jesus taught that love of God and love of neighbor fulfills all the law. Consequently, an understanding of love should be our goal as Christians in order that we might live lives that fulfill the will of God. The word love can mean so many things. The single word love includes a variety of different strong and positive emotional and mental states, ranging from the deepest interpersonal affection to the simplest pleasure. The love of a mother differs from the love of a spouse, differs from the love of food. Love can refer to a feeling of strong attraction and emotional attachment. Love can also be a virtue representing human kindness, compassion, and affection. The unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. Love may also describe compassionate and affectionate actions toward other human beings, oneself, or toward animals. Because love is central to our Christian life together, we need to periodically revisit what God means by love. What does it mean to love God and love neighbor? When we are commanded to love God and love neighbor, we are commanded to do something, not feel something. In this context, love is a verb. Love is something we do in response to what God does and has done for us. Love is something we do for others, also in response to what God has done for us. In this famous passage from Paul uses the Greek word for love, meaning the word agape. Agape is unconditional love. Love that does not wait for the other to go first. God does not love us because we first loved God. We love God who first loved us. This is said over and over again in Scripture and cannot be overemphasized. But what does this godly, unconditional love look like? Paul tells us, particularly in verses 4 through 6, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Volumes have been written about what Paul summarizes in these three little verses. Love is patient. According to the dictionary, patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Patience is what God shows throughout the Hebrew Scriptures when the children of Israel disobey. But God works to redeem and restore them. Over and over, the Israelites praise God's hesed, that is, God's steadfast, everlasting love. Human patience is counting to 10 before responding. Human patience is explaining one more time when it seems they will never understand. Patience is understanding that the other person did not intend to cause pain, even though pain is felt, and being willing to allow angry feelings to subside before responding. Patience is not saying the first thing that comes to mind, but thinking about what's going to be said before it's said. Patience is knowing the last word you're going to say before you speak the first word. Patience is what Jesus shows the disciples when he asked them to stay up with him and pray, but they keep falling asleep. Patience is what Jesus shows Martha when she complains that Mary is not helping her in the kitchen. Patience is what Jesus shows us when he says that he stands at the door and knocks, waiting for us to respond. Paul also says that love is kind. The dictionary says that kind is having or showing a friendly, generous, and considerate nature. When one is kind, one is thinking of the other person's feelings. The first consideration is not, what am I feeling, but what is the other feeling? The golden rule, that is, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, is a practice of kindness. The principle is to determine, what would the other want? How can I do for them what I would want done? The best way to be kind is not to wait for the other person to do what you want, but to do what you would have them do first. Rather than waiting for the other person to wash the dishes, be the first to do the unpleasant task. Paul says that love is not envious. Envy or jealousy is a quick way to kill love. Envy is self-focused. Jealousy is worrying that I'm not getting enough compared to someone else. One way this is expressed is through possessiveness. If I'm so jealous of my love's time that I don't want them to spend time with others, I'm being possessive. I am not thinking of their happiness, I'm thinking of my own. When love is focused on the happiness and well-being of the other, envy goes away. Envy is selfish. Love is not. Paul says that love is not boastful. To boast is to brag or seek attention for oneself. Again, love is focused on the one loved, not on oneself. If one is bragging, they're seeking to have all the attention focused on themselves. Love seeks the benefit of the one loved, not one's own benefit. Paul says that love is not arrogant. The Greek word for arrogant means puffed up or making oneself to appear larger. Paul's making it very clear that any time the focus is on oneself, it's not love. Arrogance is self-importance. Love is making the other important. Arrogance is insisting on getting one's own way. Love is seeking the other's way. Paul says that love does not act unbecomingly or rudely. The most common way of being rude is to not wait one's turn or to be inconsiderate. If one cuts in line, one is being rude. If one interrupts someone while they're speaking, they're being rude. Again, one who is being rude is focusing on their own interests and not thinking of others. Love is not selfish. It is focused on the interest of others. Love is not rude. Paul continues in verse 5 to say that love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. As we can see, the common focus is on being willing to put oneself second to the interest of the one loved. When a love relationship becomes a way to self-satisfaction, the relationship is in danger. If we're going to make love a verb, we need to be willing to be the first to say, "I love you." We need to be willing to assume the other did not mean to hurt us, but be willing to forgive. We need to assume the best of our partners and friends and put love first. God has given us marriage as a workshop for love. When we get married, we commit ourselves to do the hard work of love. As a community, when we participate in a marriage, we reaffirm our own vows to love as God has commanded us, and to support others in their commitment. God compares the relationship between Jesus and the church as a marriage, calling the church the bride of Christ. Consequently, when we think of the church, we should think of a family that is unconditionally loved by God, and that should engender love in us for all whom God loves. During this Christmas season, when we get together as church and as family, we should also recommit ourselves not only to God, but also to each other. God calls each of us on this Love Candle Sunday to recommit ourselves to love. That is, to make love a verb. Amen.